the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight deceit.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
To Jordan came the Christ our Lord, to do his Father's pleasure. Baptized by John, the Father's word was given us to treasure. This heavenly washing now shall be a cleansing from transgression, and by his blood and agony, released from death's oppression, a new life now awaits us.
The hymn, To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord. This is the necessary prerequisite for Christ's appearing, and Christ's appearance takes place in a certain way, right there at the Jordan, in conjunction with John the Baptist, who comes. Well, what is John the Baptist doing there? He is the forerunner, and he needs to come before. It's necessary. All four Gospels record that. Luke's account of Jesus' baptism has probably more about John the Baptist than it does about Jesus. He has the shortest account of Jesus' actual baptism, and a lot of it is what John is saying about himself, or what he's not saying about himself. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We're going to be looking at the baptism of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. Tom is the host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
In a nutshell, how would you describe the ministry of John the Baptist?
I'm a pastor, so I'm not going to describe it as to what I think. I'm instead going to use Scripture, interpret Scripture. And the first time it's described is by an angel to Zechariah in Luke 1, verse 17. He's talking about the birth of John the Baptizer, and he says, "He will also go up before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So that was the angel talking to Zechariah, Luke 1:17. Well, how does Jesus describe John the Baptizer? That's found in Matthew 11, verse 8. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, and now Jesus quotes the Old Testament, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." So, from both the angel and Jesus, and taking a look at the Old Testament, we talk about John the Baptizer as the forerunner of Jesus. He prepares the way. Now, if Jesus is bringing the gospel, what is John going to be bringing? The law. In fact, his baptism does not give the Holy Spirit, but is a baptism of repentance toward the forgiveness of sins. That's why law always precedes gospel, because until you realize your need for Jesus, you really have no desire for him.
It starts out there in Luke's account that the people were in expectation. Let's deal with that at first. What are they in expectation of?
Well, they, of course, being taught by Judaism, were in expectation of looking for somebody to come to get rid of the Romans, to restore Israel to its former grandeur. And therefore, when they say they were questioning in their hearts, you were using verse 15 of chapter 3, whether John might be the Christ, he answered them, he said, no, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one that is coming, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So with many other exhortations, he was preaching the good news to the people in getting ready for them to receive Jesus, because Jesus was not coming into the world to take away the power of the Romans. He was coming into the world to take away their sins.
How was it so easy for the people to confuse John the Baptist with the Christ? That seems to be a really common confusion on their part.
Yes. In fact, later on, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And one of the answers is that you are John the Baptizer, risen from the dead after his head was cut off by Herod. So even among the people at that time, they were wondering, because they think that John the Baptizer was preaching a message and being a forerunner. Why couldn't he be the Messiah? Because his message was one that got people thinking about themselves, thinking about their future, and he had to make it very clear, no, I'm not the one you're really waiting for. I'm just preparing the way for the one. I can see how that happens if you have a friend and you're ready to go to a movie with somebody else, but your friend gives you the money to go to the movie. He talks about the movie. He drives you to the movie. You may think, oh, he's the one going to the movie with me. Until you get there and see, no, there's somebody else who's been waiting for you, and therefore you go to them with the movie. But for a while, you really thought, boy, it's my close friend that is the one for whom I should be waiting.
Now, he contrasts, you mentioned this before, he contrasts himself with the real Christ by contrasting their two baptisms. I baptize you with water. One is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, a couple things we need to clear up here, Tom, so that we're completely clear. There are Christians who read this discourse from John the Baptist and say, well, there you go. Water baptism isn't anything. That's just John's baptism. The real baptism that Christians have is a Holy Spirit baptism, that's not a water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism comes later, just like it did between John and Jesus. How do you respond?
It's really amazing that people think this way when it is very clear that those who were baptized at Pentecost were baptized with water. And then you get that lengthy conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Remember, he was one of the Pharisees who came to Jesus. What does Jesus say in John 3, verse 5? Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And at the end of the Pentecost sermon, when the people realize that they have put to death the Messiah, they ask Peter, what shall we do? Well, Peter doesn't tell them something they can do. He uses a passive. He doesn't say, baptize yourself. He says, be baptized. And what are the two gifts that they're going to receive with that water baptism? They're going to receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this idea that the Spirit comes today apart from water baptism, there's no evidence of that found in the Scriptures.
Now, he does say, one is coming after who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. That idea of fire that he introduces actually ends up being, in verse 17, a pretty harrowing description of judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, and then comes the fire again. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That's judgment language, Tom.
Yes. In other words, God is both law and gospel. The gospel is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But those who refuse that because of their unbelief, just take a look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are those who have been properly baptized, have the Spirit. The goats are those who either deny their baptism or never were baptized, and therefore they go to the unquenchable fire, in contrast to the sheep, who go to the everlasting habitation of heaven.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll have more on that on the other side of the break. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the baptism of Jesus, in Luke chapter 3. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners notice first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We're in Luke chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus. Still not to the baptism of Jesus here. We're still in the preaching of John the Baptist. Tom, how do you explain to someone that the way that John describes Jesus' arrival doesn't seem to match with Jesus' actual arrival? He describes it in Judgment Day terms, that he's coming to execute judgment. And then when Jesus shows up, things are pretty quiet. In fact, he preaches repentance and the arrival of the kingdom of God, but he doesn't have the winnowing fork. He doesn't immediately begin the judgment of, as you said before the break, believers and unbelievers, the baptized and the unbaptized. That doesn't start yet. How do you explain that?
I believe it does start in the sense that even in Luke, when Jesus is baptized, it says, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. That is his installation. That is when he begins his ministry. And immediately, what's the first miracle Jesus does? The first miracle he does is the changing of water into wine. He also heals Peter's mother-in-law, which is bringing judgment against Satan. And a lot of times, the first act he does, right after his baptism, he's driven into the wilderness to what? In my view, to bring judgment against Satan. Not long ago, we had an Old Testament reading where Elijah's on a mountain, and there's a big wind, a big earthquake, and finally a fire. And God is not in those, but he's in the still small voice. That still small voice can be law or gospel. It has really a different point of view because the law is God's means of wrath. The gospel is God's means of grace. And therefore, you can speak wrath to someone by criticizing their behavior, and you don't need to use a loud voice for that. So Jesus is beginning his law and gospel ministry, and there's no doubt that those like the unbelieving Pharisees are going to receive a big dose of law, while those who have repented of their sins and come to Jesus, even if they're a tax collector, they receive the good news of the gospel.
Speaking of the gospel, that's how Luke describes it. He says there in verse 18, with many other exhortations, he preached the good news. I think that's probably the gospel to the people. So this message of the one who's coming after him is itself good news, even when he couches it in these terms of a final judgment.
Yes, and the good news sounds like bad news to a lot of people. When I go up to somebody and say, by the way, God can forgive your sins, for them to believe that, they have to agree that they are that bad a sinner. And that's where the problem is, because by nature, we can always think of people who are worse than we are. And a lot of times, we just don't believe we're that bad a sinner. So we don't need the forgiveness of sins. It's kind of like somebody coming to me and forgiving me for something I don't think I did wrong. Well, that's just going to fall on deaf ears. And a lot of people feel that way, that being better than other people, they don't need this forgiveness as much as maybe their neighbor does.
He preaches the good news to them, and then it adds this historical note, verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, and he locked John in prison. He kind of jumps ahead, and then he has to jump back to the baptism of Jesus momentarily. But what's this occurrence between Herod the Tetrarch and John the Baptist?
Yes, I use this as a good example that the Bible is not chronologically in order, that a lot of times it skips around. Jesus may say parables in a different order in one gospel than another, because the Bible isn't a strict biography in chronological order. It's a theology, and so therefore it reminds us of things. What happened is Herod the Tetrarch married Herodias immorally, and therefore he was attacked by John the Baptizer for doing an immoral action. Well, Herod wasn't happy with that at all, and therefore he locked up John in prison, and we know what happened there. Herodias' daughter danced for Herod, and he told her, I'll give you whatever you want. She asked for the head of John the Baptizer, and of course, that's what he had to do. But then it does come back that John the Baptizer, when he baptized Jesus, and the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. And I think this is really, really important. I actually like going to Matthew chapter 3, because when Jesus comes to John to be baptized, John says, you know, I need to be baptized by you. You're coming to me? And Jesus says, permit it to be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? Well, there are two things that are absolutely unique in Christianity that is not found in any other religion in the world. Number one, God saves us. He becomes our substitute in doing everything that we need to be saved. That's found in verse 17, when God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is God. But there's one other thing that Jesus needs to do that's not in any religion at all. The only way that he can die for me is to take upon himself my sin. And you can't find a better verse in the Bible than 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is what Jesus means, that he has to fulfill all righteousness. What is most important with the baptism of Jesus is not only showing that the three persons are revealed. And by the way, that's the first time since Genesis 1 that all three persons are revealed together. But more importantly than that is the baptism was Jesus consenting to become sin for us. Remember, this was a baptism of repentance. And so therefore only sinners should go to John the Baptizer's repentance. And I believe that's why the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," because he had now fulfilled both conditions to die for our sin. He, first of all, had to become a human being. That was his incarnation at Christmas. And second of all, he had to become sin for us, because if he was not sin, he could not have been our substitute in dying for our sin.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Zacchaeus. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you so much.
I'd like to recommend this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It's Christ-centered and cross-focused. Consistently, week after week, it brings both the familiar and sometimes the unfamiliar Bible stories typical of Sunday school classrooms to your students in a thoroughly Christ-centered way. You see that from the way that Pastor Tom Baker leads us as we prepare for Sunday school. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. You can ask them for a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. Up next, Pastor Will Whedon, we'll be doing part three of our series on the liturgy of holy matrimony. Tom used that word there at the end. Substitute. That's what the baptism is about. This is Christ being installed as your substitute. He has taken on human flesh so that he might stand in for all men, not only there at the Jordan, where he undergoes the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, bearing no sins except the sins of the world, of course, none of his own, but also and finally and ultimately at the cross, where he is the substitute for you and for me, and by our substitute also our salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, L-O-G-I-A.org.